The sermon this morning comes out of a conversation we had with one of the members when we were visiting here a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's a very important thing to talk about. We're going to be discussing prayer and how God always answers it. So we'll be reading from Matthew 7, 7 through 12. Ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if a child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And everything do to others as you would have them do to you. For this is the law and the prophets. God does answer. We don't want to give up on God. We always want to continually pray and know that he is there and going to answer. There was a little 5-year-old girl who was watching her mother in fascination put cold cream on her face. And she asked her, "Mom, what are you doing that for?" And her mom told her, "Well, it's to help make myself beautiful." Well, to the little girl's surprise, a few minutes later, mom's taking that stuff off of her face with a tissue. And the little girl looks at her mom and she says, "What's the matter, Mom? Have you given up already?" That's how it is a lot of times with our prayer life. We pray to God for something that's very important to us. And when it doesn't happen right away, we give up. We decide to ourselves, he's not going to do that. He's not going to answer. Why bother? So we could pray. But we don't need to be giving up. We need to continually ask God because, as I've mentioned many times, God's timing is not the same as our timing. He does things when he knows it's the best time to do it, when everything is going to fall into place. God hears everything we say to him, and he answers everything we ask of him. I'm going to read you a few letters from children to God. One says, "I read the Bible. What does begat mean? Nobody will tell me. Instead of letting people die and having to make new ones, why don't you just keep the ones you have now? Did you mean for the giraffe to look like that, or was that an accident? Thank you for my baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Please send me a pony. I have never asked you for anything before. You can check. I bet it is very hard for you to love all the people in the world. There are only 4 people in our family, and I have a hard time with that. If you watch me in church Sunday, I'll show you my new shoes. Maybe Cain and Abel would not have killed each other so much if they had had their own rooms. It works for me and my brother. I didn't think orange went with purple until I saw the sunset you made Tuesday. That was so cool. Did you really mean do unto others as they do unto you? Because if you did, I'm going to fix my brother. The bad people laughed at Noah. They said, you made an ark on dry land, you stupid. But he was smart. He stuck with you. And that's what I would do. And that's what we need to do. We need to stick with God. We need to continually pray. If it's important to you, keep asking. God heard you the first time, but God wants that relationship with you. He wants you to keep asking. He wants you to express to him how important something is to you. And he hears all our prayers, and he answers all our prayers. No strings attached. There's no conditions involved. Sometimes you hear people talk about, well, I prayed for so-and-so, but maybe God doesn't want to give that to me. Or, I prayed for so-and-so if it's your will, God, There are no conditions on that. Jesus didn't put any conditions on prayers to God. Ask, and it will be given to you. Period. End of story. There are no conditions on that. If you ask of God for something that you need, He's going to provide it for you. Maybe not exactly like what you wanted. You might get a brother instead of a puppy, but He's going to answer you. He always answers. Prayer is a subject that is mentioned twice in the Sermon on the Mount. The only topic that He did talk about twice on the Sermon on the Mount, which shows you how important prayer is to Him and to us. And if you'll look at ask, seek, and knock, those are verbs that are in the imperative, which means they must be done. Prayer is not a request. Jesus didn't sit there on the mountain and say, well, if you would like to pray, He said, ask, and it will be given to you. It's not a request. It is a requirement. It's a command of sorts. And if you kind of tie that into the Ten Commandments, if prayer is a command and you don't pray, aren't you kind of sinning? You may never think of it that way. But in 1 Samuel 12:23, it reads, "Moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray to you." Think about that. If you fail to pray for somebody that you know needs your prayer, you have sinned against three people. You've sinned against God because He told you to pray. You've sinned against the person that is depending on you because you didn't pray for them. And you've sinned against yourself because you have failed to give yourself the blessing that comes from praying for something and getting it. Praying for someone and they are miraculously healed. We've seen it happen. I know everyone in here has seen situations where those things have happened, where everybody said it is not possible. But people prayed for it and it happened. Because God wants to provide us good things. He wants to provide for our needs. He's not always going to provide for your wants. Don't pray to ask Him for a new Mercedes or a BMW. You're probably going to wind up with a Ford or a Chevy. But the point being, He provides to us all of our needs. In James 4:17, it says, "Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin." So if you don't do the good thing, you don't pray like you're supposed to, you are really doing an injustice to yourself and to God. And in the Greek language, if you look at those, it is something that denotes continuous action. Pray, ask, seek, and knock. When you pray for something, then you need to seek the answer. Oftentimes we miss God's answer because we weren't looking for it, when it was there all the time. And when you knock, keep on knocking. If you went to a neighbor's door or somebody's door, you knew they were home, and you stand there and you keep knocking, sooner or later they're going to come to the door. They might tell you to get out of here, but they're going to come to the door. Ask, and then look for it, seek, and continually pray. Keep knocking. God is going to answer. It may be today, next week, a month from now, but He is going to answer because He knows what's best for us. Don't give up on God. You will receive an answer. Prayer begins by ask, it will be given to you. And in James 4, 2, it says, you have not because you ask not. You didn't get it because you didn't ask for it. So if you don't talk to God and you don't ask Him for what you need, you're not going to get it. It's as simple as that. If you don't ask, you're not going to get it. Billy Graham once said that there are thousands of answers to prayers in heaven that have never been asked for. If you don't ask, why would God give it to you? I mean, yeah, He knows that you need it because He knows everything that's in our heart. He knows everything we're thinking about, but He still wants you to ask. Yeah, Mom and Dad might know you need something or want something, but if you don't ask for it, why would they get it to you? So you need to ask, and it will be given. But if you don't ask, no. And then when you seek the answer, seek it with a purpose. Don't just think, well, it's going to happen when it happens. Look for it. It may be in some place you didn't even expect, and you may find that that's a better thing than what you originally wanted. Knock, and it will be open to you. You've probably all heard the phrase, when God closes a door, He always opens a better door. And He does. Sometimes you think, why did that happen? Why did that door get slammed in my face, figuratively? And then a few days later, or a little bit later, you might find, oh, that's why. Because if I'd have accepted this job over here, I'd have been miserable. But God wanted me to accept this job over here because He knew I'd be happy in that job. He slammed that door because it was wrong for you, but He opened this door because it was good for you. And when you pray, if you're not real sure how to ask God, you don't quite know the right words to say. In Romans 8, 26 and 27, it says, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us according to the will of God. In some translations, you'll see that says, the Spirit talks to God through strange groanings and moanings. And what the Bible is talking about is God's language, the language of the angels. We don't understand it, but the Spirit does, and the Spirit knows what's in our hearts, so He intercedes for us. He talks to God on our behalf, but you've got to be in the prayer move. You have to be praying, even if you're just kneeling down and silent, thinking in your head, how do I tell this to God? How do I ask God for this? They'll take care of you. The angels and the spirits will take care of you. They will talk to Him for you. Knocking on that door continuously is not a bad thing. You're not going to wear Him out. He wants that. He wants to continually hear from you. There's a funny story about a dad who had four children, and sometimes he'd get real tired of the noise and the toys scattered all over the place, so he'd try to find some place to seek refuge, some quiet place, and he quickly discovered the bedroom didn't work because they would come in there and see him. So he thought, I know, I'll go into the bathroom and I'll take a shower and they'll leave me alone. No. One of his little daughters came to the bathroom door and started knocking on the door and knocking and knocking and knocking until finally, greatly irritated, he says, please, can I have my privacy? And the little girl stopped for a minute, breathed a big sigh, and said, Daddy, where is your privacy? I can't find it. And that is the spirit of prevailing prayer. You may not be able to find it in your thoughts on how to pray, but it's there. Keep knocking. In verse 8 it says, everyone that asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who knocks, a door will open. We have to continually pray. And then Jesus tells us to think about this from our perspective. If your child came to you and said, I need a loaf of bread, are you going to go out in the backyard and get him a rock and give it to him? Or if your child comes up to you and says, I need a fish or some other type of food, do you think you're going to run down to the local river and grab out a serpent, a rattlesnake, or whatever, and give that to the child? No. You are going to give your child that loaf of bread and that fish or whatever it is that they asked for because you know that's the right thing to do. Well, if we know that that's the right thing to do for our children, don't you think God knows the right thing to do for His children, for us? He does. It may not be what you want, but it is always what you need. The last verse, verse 12, talks about the golden rule. It's not really closely tied to praying, but we include that because it tells us that Jesus links that with prayer such that you should do right by people even if they don't do right by you. You should pray for people even if they're mean to you. Bless thine enemy. You should pray for people even if you don't like them. You should pray for people always. You should do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And maybe if you're nice to that person and you pray for that person, you might change their life. You might get them to see the error of their ways, and they might start being nice to you. The golden rule in the Bible is put into a positive form. If you look at some of these other religions or some of the early philosophers, you'll find that they put it in a negative light. They say, don't do to others what you would not have them do to you. Basically says the same thing, but they're using it negatively. Jesus uses it positively. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There's a story of a woman who had gone to the mall, searched for a parking place. We've all been there. You go up and down the aisles and you can't find a place to park. But suddenly you see somebody walking to their car with their packages and you're thinking, all right, there's going to be a spot. So this lady in her Mercedes, she pulled down that aisle and she stopped and she waited. And the person backed out, and as soon as that person backed out, some young guy in a brand new Corvette zipped in there and got the parking space in front of her. So he's walking to the mall, and she rolls her window down or runs her window down, and she says, don't you know I was waiting for that spot? That spot was supposed to be mine. And this young man looks at her and says, sorry, lady. That's how it is when you're young and quick. So she puts her Mercedes in gear and she slams into the back of that Corvette. Oh, he's shocked. He turns around, lady, what are you doing? She says, well, that's how it is when you're old and rich. That's really not how we're supposed to be. And we can laugh at that because we see that sometimes more often than we should in our society. but she should have just let it go. Yeah, it wasn't fair. Life is not fair, but she should have just let it go and prayed for that young man to see the erring of his ways, that he shouldn't be doing that kind of thing. Maybe he'll change. There's a Methodist minister in Tennessee who tells a story. And if you listen to this story, you probably have an experience in your life where something similar to this happened. He had decided that he wanted to move into another home. He wanted to actually build a house. He thought about it for 4 or 5 years and finally decided to take the plunge, put this for sale sign out, or got the realtor to put this for sale sign out. Nothing. Waited a little bit, tried it again. Nothing. Nobody came to see the house. Nobody wanted the house. So he began to pray. Began to pray with the family for this house situation, because he was getting frustrated. But he knew that if you pray about it and show God how important it is, God will provide for you. Now here's where all this providing came in. He said, one day a lady in her church was driving around her home and saw a new subdivision being developed. So she pulled in to see just what kind of houses were there. She drove down this cul-de-sac and found an empty lot. She said the moment she saw it, she knew this could be what they were looking for. So she called her son, who was a realtor. He came and looked at it and got very excited about it. So he called Reverend Duncan, who happened to be in Florida at the time, and said, I found it. Reverend Duncan's like, you found what? He says, I found the perfect piece of property for you. So they got in their car and they came back home to take a look at this piece of property. But there is a problem. They've still got to sell their house before they can get the property to build the house on it. So he thinks, okay, maybe I should try again. But before he has a chance to try again, one of the church members had gone to a subdivision across the street from where he lived, found a home that they absolutely loved, made an offer, it was accepted, but the people got to thinking about it and decided, no, we're not going to sell our house after all. We're going to stay where we are. The next Sunday, he asked the congregation to pray for him from the pulpit. Please let this work out. And a man sitting in the service turned to his wife and said, you know, I've always admired the pastor's house. So they came and looked at it. And they bought it immediately. The for sale sign had only been up for 1 week. But this was the right time. This was God's time. God made all those events happen the way they did to make this happen, to answer his prayer, to answer the prayers of the congregation for him. On his behalf, stumbling across the property. This other person trying to buy a house in that neighborhood, but it fell through, bought his house. All those odd occurrences, you would think, happened to make this happen, the final result. And that's why I say you should seek those answers, because they're there. You may wonder sometimes, why is this or this or this happening? It's because God is putting things in motion to answer your prayer. And I've said before, yes, God could think it or speak it, and it would happen if he wanted to. But God is not going to change the rules of earth, science and all those things, to make it happen. God wants us to believe in Him on faith. God does not want to be some celestial Santa that you ask Him for something and boom, here it is. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to believe in Him through faith. He wants you to know that He will do this, but in His way, which is the best way for you. Because He knows how all this needs to happen. He knows where you need to be. It's like we talked about earlier. He slammed that door because He knew you wouldn't like that job, but He opened this door because He knew you'd love that job. He didn't let you get this house because He knew this house was a better fit for you. We get discouraged sometimes because it doesn't happen the way we think it should. But it happens. And we have to see that as God's intervention. God is doing what you asked Him to do. You just have to see it. So never give up on God. Continually pray without ceasing. Ask for those things that you need. Ask for those things that you know your neighbors need. Ask for those things that the person down the street that's ornery and doesn't like anybody, what he needs. Pray for him to change his ways. Pray for everything. Look for those answers. And don't give up. Keep knocking on that door. Keep praying to God. He hears you. He'll answer you. Don't give up. Because He wants the best for us. And He always answers. And you will receive. Amen.